Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
This is bigger than that. It's more real than that. In God's mind and heart, He combined you with His Son. You're in Him. Not just He surrounded you, you are melted, merged, joined, infused into Christ.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
You want to talk about a miracle of God? Let me tell you something that God is doing in modern day times that is a miracle. It's a miracle that I am right now seated in the humble Truth Infusion Studios in the little hamlet of Redwater, Texas, northeast Texas, deep in the piney woods, tucked away from so many things in the corner of nowhere out here. And last month, the statistics behind the scenes statistics of our website showed us that over, I think it was 46 or 47 nations around the world took the time to listen to the radio programming via our internet site. That is a miracle. It's a miracle. I have no idea how we got to this point. It wasn't because I have some kind of radio knowledge or background or have people around me that know all that kind of stuff. It is the hand of God that will take a nobody staring at the wall somewhere in Redwater, Texas, speaking into a microphone, and people literally around the world are able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ through this ministry opportunity. It blows my mind. I can take credit for none of it. I give all credit and glory to God Almighty. Some of those nations are the oppressed, persecuted nations of the world. Some are third world countries. Some are very steeped in Islam, where things like what we talk about on this program are against the law. And if you get caught teaching the kind of things that we teach through Truth Infusion Ministries, if you were there in person, you could be imprisoned and even killed. But through the power of the Lord and the abilities that we have in this day and age through mass media and things like the internet and radio, there are people even in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, in various northern African nations that are extremely difficult as far as persecuting Christians. There are people there hearing the gospel of Christ and words of truth through Truth Infusion Ministries. And I want to say thank you, God, for the opportunity to minister to your people. Absolutely. I want you to know, Truth Seekers, if Truth Infusion Ministries is a blessing to you, or if you want to partner with us in this endeavor to see the Word of God go out to the region we are in, the United States itself, and even around the world, that we would love to have you help partner and support in what we're doing. And if you want further information about that, you can email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. truthinfusion@gmail.com, or you can gather other information on the website, www.truthinfusion.com. So I just wanted to say that more as a praise report than anything. If you were with us last week, we began a new study that we may conclude today. It's entitled Understanding Our Divine Position. And I took time last week for some 25 minutes or so to try to lay out a case for the fact that one of the most foundational and doctrinal and ultimately important and necessary things that a child of God needs to understand, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. Lifestyle needs to be affected by the understanding of the concept that we are in Christ. Now, I'm going to give that a lot more information and put more flesh on that this week. But last week, I wanted to just make this point. Over 170 times in Paul's writings alone, he uses the phrase in Christ or something that's similar to it over 170 times, referring to what I call our divine position. We are positioned, the Bible tells us, over and over and over in Christ. And that's not, we're going to get into this today, that's not just poetic and figurative. It's much, much more than that. And you need to understand what that means, because all of the blessings and benefits of heaven come to us because of our divine position inside the person of Christ. I also made the point last week that so many of the familiar verses that we can quote, that we recite to one another, or teach from, maintain this phrase, in Christ. And a lot of times we skip over that to get to what we think is the good part of the verse, the powerful part of the verse, the flashy part of the verse, the signs and wonders part, the miracle part, the blessing part. And I want to tell you that when we start putting more emphasis on the effect or the blessing than the source of the power itself, then it's a chance that we could be setting up an idol for ourselves, because anything we put before God Himself, even if it is His stuff, it can become an idol. And anytime we idolize something, it's sin, right? So, most Christians today are not living in the fullness of the benefits, the fullness of the benefits of our relationship with God, because we don't understand our true position, our true divine position, and we will never be able to step into our heritage here on earth, our heritage on earth as believers, unless or until we understand our position in Christ. So you are in Him. Now, what does that mean? Today, we're going to talk about that, and I want to speak to you out of one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And we might get into the next verse, but we're going to begin today in Romans chapter 6, and we're going to spend most of our time today, I'm sure, speaking out of verse 3. So if you're not in a position where you can turn there yourself, if you're driving in your car, please don't start flipping through your Bible. Both hands on the wheel, 10 and 2, you let me read to you what the Word says, and then you go look at it later and make sure I was telling you the truth. Amen? Romans 6, 3 says this. Or do you not know, in the King James it says, know you not, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Let me read it again. Know you not, or don't you know, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Okay, the first thing that we've got to clear up is this word baptized, because in these verses, the scholars that translated the words into English for us, there are times where they could have perhaps chosen better verbiage or better words to explain what the Greek was really bearing out, what the Apostle Paul in this case was writing. The idea of baptize, especially to us in the modern day church, for the most part, we immediately start to think about water and the ceremony of baptizing someone after salvation, placing them under the water. I want to tell you something. In these verses, in verse 3 and then in verse 4, it says it again. The word baptized or baptism has nothing to do with water. Nothing at all. Do a little test for me. When you go home tonight, or when you get where you're going, if you have your Bible with you, and if it happens to be a study Bible where you have at the bottom of the page perhaps all the notes and the commentary related to the verses that are on the page there, go to Romans 6, verse 3 and verse 4, Look down at the commentary notes, the study notes on those verses. See if it says something about water, about water baptism. Most of the time, these study Bibles do, and they're not all the time. But when I'm looking for a new study Bible, usually one of the first things I do is I'll turn to the notes on Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. If it says anything about water baptism, I usually very politely close it and put it back on the shelf. It's just a test for me to see kind of where are the commentators for this study Bible coming from, because the word baptism in verses 3 and 4 has nothing to do with water baptism ceremony. And because we think that way, it throws off the true meaning and the true import and the true power of these verses. Anytime, here's a little nugget for you, for you Bible students out there. When you see the word baptized or baptism in the Word of God, you need to ask yourself, is this in the context of being a literal baptism, or is this a figurative baptism? It's going to be one of the two, okay? It's either talking literally about the ceremony of being placed into the water and brought out of the water, or it's going to be something very figurative that has nothing to do with the water ceremony. Let me give you an example. Matthew 3, verse 11. I have to paraphrase this for you, but you're going to be familiar with this verse more than likely. John the Baptist is speaking. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." Remember this? "But he who is coming after me is greater than I, whose sandals I'm not fit or worthy to carry. He will baptize you with spirit and fire," or in spirit and fire. Now, there it is. Both uses of the term baptism in our English translation, one is literal, one is figurative. When John says, "I indeed baptize you with water," we're obviously talking about the literal being placed into the water. But when he goes on in verse 11 to say, "He will baptize you," speaking of Jesus, "with the Holy Spirit and fire," thank goodness he's not talking about a literal baptism into fire where he holds us into the flame. Right, obviously that's not what he's talking about. This is figurative. It's symbolic. Okay, in Romans 6, 3 and 4, this is symbolic. It's not literal. It's not water. Now, why is that important? Because of this. When we look at what baptism, the word baptism really means, the figurative sense, it just means this. Instead of saying baptized or baptism, let's say this. Let's say to be placed into, because that's what it's talking about. When it's a figurative baptism, when it's symbolic, take the word baptism out, read the verse again, but put in there, instead of baptism, in your mind, say the words "placed into." All right, and you'll get a better and a more complete picture of what the writer is trying to get you to hear. Now, here's what, let's do that and listen to what verse 3 says. "Know you not that as many of us as were placed into Christ were placed into his death." Very different, right? But that's what the word "better" means. So I want to talk to you today about the concept of being in Christ. This verse says that many of us, many of you, have been placed into Christ. You are in him. You are in Christ Jesus. Now let's explain that a little bit. At the moment of salvation, when you were saved, Paul would say you were justified. Same thing. It is the spiritual and legal act that God the Father, the justifier, he held proceedings over your life. And when you came to place faith in the finished work of Christ and ask for him to be your Lord, he said yes to you, and God the Father justified your life, and you were saved from the penalty and the eternal torment of what sin brings into the life of a person. Separation from God, ultimately hell, all that was done away with because you were saved, you were justified in the eyes and mind of God, and you were placed into Christ. With me? Okay? Paul says, "Don't you know that you were placed into Christ?" What does this mean? At the point of salvation, in the mind of God, in God's mind, in His heart, in His eyes, we were placed into a vital union with Jesus. Now, when the Greek says in this writing that you are placed into Christ, the Greek bears out the picture of a vital union. Let me give you some other ways to describe it. You were joined with Christ. You were combined in the heart and mind of God with Christ. You were merged into Him. The Bible also talks about us being grafted into Christ. Infused into. If I were to have a glass of water and a glass of orange juice, and I were to pour the orange juice into the water, that orange juice is now infused into the water in such a way that no matter how hard you try, you will never separate again those two into a glass of water and a glass of orange juice. They have been merged together, combined together, infused into. It's the idea of two pieces of metal that are melted down into liquid metal and then poured into one another, hardened again, and now you will never separate those two again. They are melted into one another. They are completely connected. Okay, let me give you this then as an example. Made one flesh. All right? You take a raw roast, or a cooked roast, I don't guess it matters, and you take that thing and you tear it apart, all right, that was once whole, one flesh, you tear it in two. Number one, it's never going to be the same again, and you will never be able to put it together the way it was, because what was once whole has been torn apart. It's the same concept we have for God's intent for marriage. A man and a woman come together and are made into one unit. You were made into one unit with Christ. And I told you earlier, it's more than just symbolic. This is more than poetic or figurative. This isn't just a neat way to put it so that it's pretty sound and it kind of makes you go, aw. No, this is bigger than that. It's more real than that. In God's mind and heart, He combined you with His Son. You're in Him, not just He surrounded you. You are melted, merged, joined, infused into Christ. You're in Jesus. That's what Paul's trying to get you to see. You were joined to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him." That's fantastic. That's a little bit more than we tend to think about when we hear the words in Christ. But that's the place that I'm talking about. It's so important. It's bigger than just the idea that I'm walking beside Jesus or now I get to, you know, have a relationship with Him. No, in the mind of God, you are in Him. He is in you. You are melted, merged, joined together to the point that 1 Corinthians 6:17 says you are one spirit with Him. Joined, a vital union. It's kind of like the concept of conjoined twins. We used to call them Siamese twins, but I guess that's not politically correct anymore. So medically, they prefer to say conjoined, and you know what I'm talking about. I've been in the medical field for several years. I've got a bachelor's in science and nursing. I've worked in the hospitals, I've worked in the rehab, I've worked in people's homes. You know, I've never personally been in the same room with conjoined twins, right? And they're very rare. It's a very rare happening. But most all of us have seen the pictures or the newspaper or seen documentaries or television shows about conjoined twins, perhaps when the doctors might be separating them. You know, let me talk about that very quickly because it paints a great picture for us. A conjoined set of twins are together. They're joined. They're merged together at some point of their bodies. Sometimes it's the head. Sometimes it's maybe the pelvis or the hip area or the leg, what have you, the shoulder. You know what? Here's what we know. They are two separate individuals. They got separate DNAs. They have different likes, dislikes. They got different personality traits and temperaments. But they share physically at least a portion of their body. Sometimes a big portion, sometimes a small portion. Sometimes it's just skin. Sometimes they come joined, like I said, at the pelvis or the hips. And in some cases, they'll share certain organs. I've seen the case of the girls, twin girls that were born conjoined at the hips, and they shared a kidney. Here's what, whether it's great or small in the area of conjoining, one thing we know is true. They share the same blood supply because some of their vascular system, some of their veins and arteries combine and merge together. So the blood flows from one through the organs of one into the other twin and through their organs, and they share the same blood supply. That life-giving fluid that carries oxygen and nutrients and carries waste away from their organs and muscles and tissues, that same blood source and blood flow circulates through each. I want to tell you, you are joined with Christ in such a vital way. You are in Him in such an awesome way that word says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, you are one spirit with Him. We share the vital essence with Christ of the Holy Spirit. It flows in Him, through Him, into us, out of us, back in Him. One spirit, just like blood through conjoined twins, we are together with Christ. It's a fantastic thought. You're more than just walking beside Him. Even that old poem about footprints in the sand, when it was going through the hard times, there was one set of footprints because He was carrying me. Well, that's still Christ picking you up and carrying you. The picture is even greater than that. If there's one set of footprints, it's because you are in Him. And He is in you. Galatians 3:27. Says this, for as many of you as were baptized, there it is again. Let me say it the way I told you to think about it. For as many of you as were placed into Christ have put on Christ. Have put on Christ. That idea of put on Christ is the Greek word enduno. Enduno. And it means to be surrounded with Christ, to be surrounded with His righteousness, His strength, glory, salvation. What is Christ and what is of Christ is permeating you. It's surrounded. It's encased you. But don't make the mistake of thinking about it like a costume or a mask. Because when you wear a costume or a mask or a suit coat or a jacket in the winter, you can take that jacket off and throw it in the closet and not go back and pick it up for another, you know, till next cold snap or the next winter comes around or the next party where you put on the costume again or what have you. You can remove that. No, it's more than that with Christ. It's a greater concept with Him. You are in Him. You've been placed in Him. Let me say it like this. If Christ is the Son of God and you have put Him on, like that verse says, then having the Son in yourself and being remade into the likeness of Him every day, you have been brought into one family, into one nature. You are now one spiritual organism because you are in Christ. And that, truth seeker, is the source. It is the reason that all things flow to us and through us as children of God. It is why we have the benefits and the blessings of heaven, not just in eternity to come, but where you live right now. Why? Because Christ lives in you, and you live in Him, and He will be Himself in you, because you are vitally combined and merged, and you have that essence of His Spirit flowing into you, and that Spirit flowing back into Him. It's like Christ is our spiritual life support. I've seen open heart surgery when they take that person, ultimately they remove their heart, and for a matter of time when they're implanting the new heart, that person is living on that heart-lung bypass machine. It has become, in so many ways, their life support. It's keeping that vital essence, that blood, flowing through them. And as long as that machine is on and they are hooked to Him, as even though their heart has been removed, they are alive, a living thing. And Christ, my friends, is our heart-lung bypass machine in spiritual realms. We are combined with Him. And as long as He is alive, we will have life. And He ain't going nowhere anytime soon. He's already defeated death and the hell and the grave, never to return to them again. The ultimate victor. And inside us, and we inside Him, are living together, conjoined, one spirit, one essence, and as long as He is imputing His spiritual power and life into us, we can live in that spiritual power. You have everything you need, not because it comes to you from Christ, but because you are in Him. You're in Him. Next week, I want to show you the benefits of what that means. What took place and takes place even now because you are in Christ. Know you not that as many of us as were placed into Christ have been placed into His death? What does that mean, His death? You come back next week, Truth Seekers. That is exactly what we're going to talk about. Until that time, you do me this favor. You keep seeking the truth. Amen? God bless you.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.